Today's gospel is all about coronations. When Queen Elizabeth II was crowned, it was one of the first things that was televised. You could see that coronation from around the world. And because we don't see too many coronations, the crowning of a monarch is an incredible event. All of us, I'm sure, will have been caught up in the events of a few weeks ago when Queen Elizabeth II passed away, and there was just this constant media spotlight on members of the royal family. Every day you could see the solemn processions behind the carriage carrying Her Majesty's coffin. And there was King Charles III, his grief publicly on display, taking on suddenly the duties of a king, yet also at the same time having to mourn the loss of his late mother. But the crowning or the coronation of a monarch is a really special occasion, and all sorts of people seem to come out of the woodwork for it. People come out with all sorts of beautiful clothes on, and they get caught up in not only the liturgy of the ceremony, but in the beautiful music and the feeling that something terribly important is going on, something that's really going to touch our lives for a few years. And when the monarch is crowned, they are anointed with sacred oil, declaring that they are the sovereign. And they are venerated by being bowed to, so that you come away feeling that you've really seen something important. But there's a story. During the Middle Ages, there were two men watching the king getting out of his golden chariot to go into a church. And one says to his friend, a little bit put out, he says, "I live to see the day when the royalty are treated as the common people." And his friends turn to him and say, "We live to see the day when common people are treated like royalty." Jesus represents the second half, because to God, there's no such thing as being treated like royalty unless you treat everybody else like royalty, because it's God's will that what he makes, when he creates, God does not make rubbish. God makes wonderful things that are going to last forever. And today's coronation that we read about today on Christ the King is a description of Jesus' coronation. Everything's there. The soldiers, after they're finished scourging him and beating him, sit down and find a crown of thorns for him. And they kneel before him, mocking him, because he's a king. They put a purple cloak on him, because that's a sign of royalty. They put a reed in his hand, a symbol of a scepter, because he's the king of the Jews. And they even have a sign written by Pilate himself saying, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." And then they prepare his throne. They get that cross ready for Jesus to carry up the hill. But when he gets there, his throne is laid out before him, and they nail him to it. They put him up, and they all start jeering and making fun of the King of the Jews, saying, "You saved others. How come you can't save yourself?" So why didn't Jesus save himself? Why would he subject himself to all that pain and anger and terror and then put it on himself like the coronation of a king? It's because a new world was going to be born through the blood of that cross. And Jesus cries out to God. In his agony, he's maybe thinking, "I didn't want to do all this, but my Father asked me to, and that's why I'm here." And if you ask God why God did it, you might hear the words from Scripture: "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that he might save us all." There was a Jewish philosopher called Simone Weil. She died very young at the end of the Second World War. She wasn't a Christian, but she loved Jesus with a great heart. And one day she was looking at a crucifix in a church, and one of the priests in there came up to her and said, "Why are you looking at that?" And she said, "On that cross, I see God's apology for all the pain." God created us for freedom, not for slavery. God could only do one thing, and that was to share our pain through the blood of the cross. And that's why Jesus comes down, takes on our human flesh, becomes incredibly vulnerable, and in the end suffers as perhaps no one else in history has from the beginning of time to the end of time. And he suffered, and we say, so how could God allow this to happen? How could God look down and watch Jesus abandoned, hated, people who are out of their minds trying to kill him? They despise him. Even Jesus' own friends ran away. And then we say to ourselves, so why did he do it? And we know the answer. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And that's the greatest gift. And even through everything, why did God have to do it? Why did it have to be so painful? Because when we look on the face of the crucified Messiah, we can see there and know that God truly understands. God understands us. God understands us perhaps better than we understand ourselves. God has created us in love, not to be slaves, but to be subject to freedom, the freedom that God has given to each of us in Christ. And it's a wonderful feeling to be free. It's a wonderful feeling to be a disciple of Jesus Christ and know that we are loved with a love that goes beyond our understanding, a love that meets us wherever we are, whatever we've done or what we haven't done, the love that supports and holds us up. Now, I'm not a king any more than any of you will ever be a reigning monarch. I don't come here as a king. I come here as a servant. I come here as somebody who's been called to lead and to do so through the example of service. I'm here to help lead you, to help you discover all the sorts of possibilities that we will share together under God, to help us all to grow into those possibilities and live out our calling as Christians. It's a wonderful privilege, I think, for us all to be servants of God. Some 15 years ago, perhaps even more, when I began going through the whole discernment process of being called to serve as a minister in the church, I remember going to see the director of vocations in York, where I was living and studying at the time. And we were talking together about vocation and a calling to serve in ministry. And he just said to me, Jay, what is it that you've got to offer? And I said, in all my prayers, in all my discernment of what God is calling me to do, it's always my hands that seem to take a new sense of meaning. And I just said to him, I really see my ministry as being something where I get my hands dirty. And that's a vision that's never left me. And he said, Jay, if you will go about getting your hands dirty in ministry, getting your hands dirty for the sake of the kingdom, then that's your calling, and that's how you're going to live it out. So he saw me as being some kind of manure spreader, helping to feed, tend the soil, helping to do things grow, to make things grow. So that's why I come here as a servant, to serve alongside you, to help lead us all into growth. It's a wonderful world out there. It's a wonderful privilege to be part of it. It's a wonderful community that we are all part of. I've already received a wonderful welcome. Just before the service started, two people came into the vestry and they prayed with me. That's never happened to me before, where people have said, actually, we're going to come and we're going to pray with you before the start of the service. That really touched my heart, that people would come and pray with me. And so in return, my prayer is with all of you. We're all on a journey. We know ultimately where the destination is, but we go on that journey together. And one of the most important aspects of that journey is discovering who we're on the journey with. As I say, it's a great big world out there. We're part of a great big community. And perhaps some of our calling is just to discover who the people are around us who don't yet know Jesus and invite them to come on that journey with us. We don't always know where we're going to go, but we know the ultimate destination. Our journey continues, and together, I hope, I pray, that we are going to journey on together, together as sisters and brothers, united together with Jesus as our King. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.